What is the first thing that God created in Genesis 1 in the recreation, as we understand it, of the heavens and the earth after the rebellion of Satan and tohu and bohu set in? What was the first thing? I'm sure many of you have this portion of the Bible memorized, have read it many times, but let's read it and pin it down. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was, or as we understand, became, what is called the gap theory, became without form and void due to the rebellion of Satan, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. So light was the first thing that God created relative to this earth and the heavens. God himself, of course, is light, as we're going to see a little later. But he produced light and let it shine on the earth. God saw the light, that it was good. And that is what I want to emphasize to us today, that light is good. Light is essential. Light must be an important part of our lives in a spiritual sense. God divided the light from the darkness. Light is an absolutely amazing thing. Scientists don't fully understand it or all it can do. They're learning more as time goes by. But some things are known. It feeds us by supplying energy for plants to grow, light from the sun in this case. It inspires us with beautiful sunsets and rainbows. Scientists say it is both waves and charged particles, but that it has no volume, different from virtually anything else we know. Man can't see everything that is defined as light. We see what has shorter wavelengths. That is the visible light to us. But radio waves and X-rays are much the same thing, but with different lengths of waves. Visible light represents a very narrow group of wavelengths. Light moves, and I'm sure you've heard this in approximation, at 186,282 miles per second. Don't forget the 282 miles. Not that that makes a lot of difference. But 186,282 miles per second in a vacuum. It does not need a medium to move in. It can move in a vacuum like space. When it strikes an object through which it can pass, something that is transparent, it will bend and slow down. When it hits water, it bends and travels 30% slower. And my research said it makes fish look bigger. I always thought it made them look smaller, but the mind plays tricks on you where fishing is concerned. Of course, if it hits a curved lens, like in my glasses, it will bend even more. I used to be extremely nearsighted until I had cataract surgery. And after I had cataract surgery, they put in a distance lens. So now, even without glasses, I'm 20/25. But when I was 2400, there was a tremendous refraction of the light waves when they came through my glasses. Rainbows are created when light shines through tiny drops of water. The drops refract or bend the light, and it is separated into colors. Light can also reflect, as with a mirror, reflects at the same angle with which it hits the surface, and light can be scattered or diffused when it reflects from something. Notice Job chapter 38, Job 38. Give you a few scriptures here in the introduction. Usually those are saved primarily for the body of the message. But Job 38:24. By what way is light diffused? Margin says divided, or the east wind scattered over the earth. Again, by what way is light diffused? Obviously, because God set in motion the rules of physics that affect light. Verse 19 is also interesting. Where is the way to the dwelling of light, and darkness, where is its place? What is the point of origin of light? I'll give you a hint. God is light. Again, we will see more about that later in the sermon. Then we have the process of photosynthesis, something that I think most students study in school, and how that enables plants to store energy from the sun. And that, in turn, provides food for us, including indirectly through other animals that we may eat. And interestingly, the same energy comes to us in the form of petroleum, coal, and natural gas. The remains of plants that lived long ago, and the energy in the gasoline we burn in our cars, which now is something like $3.50 a gallon. I don't have to tell you that, do I? You're keenly aware of the cost of gasoline. President Biden says it's mostly because of COVID and the supply chain. I will not comment further on that. But ultimately, that energy, gasoline, comes from the sun. Light that is from heat is called incandescent. Examples, the sun or a candle, or the old-fashioned kind of light bulbs. Light that comes from chemical or electrical energy is luminescent. And now we have, and I've been pleased with this, LED lights. They've been around for a little while now, but relatively new, very economical. Not when you first purchase them, but in the long run, very economical. And they are, I think, a very good source of light, so far as I know. We certainly like them. I like them on the flashlights we use when we're camping or outside at night. Batteries are used very, very slowly, and they'll last a long, long time. LED lights are interesting in what LED stands for. It stands for light-emitting diode. So LED lighting products, whatever they are, produce light up to 90% more efficiently than incandescent light bulbs. An electrical current passes through a microchip which illuminates the tiny light sources we call LEDs, these little diodes, and the result is visible light. And then to prevent performance issues, you know how they say this will last so many hours, many more hours than an incandescent bulb. It is based on how they dim slowly over time. That's what happens. They dim slowly over time. And when they decrease the output by 30%, that is considered the lifetime of the light bulb. But if you kept using one until it completely stopped, it'd be a lot longer than what they call the lifetime. They do produce heat, and they have some kind of a light sink. Don't fully understand what that is, but it absorbs the heat so that they're not hot in the same way that an incandescent bulb is. Incandescent bulbs do have some purposes, such as if you have a refrigerator in the garage at night during the winter, sometimes the items in the freezer will melt. And the way you can overcome that is to put an incandescent bulb in there with some kind of a holder, and it emits just enough heat to make the refrigerator work a little harder to keep things frozen in the freezing compartment. That's something we had trouble with last winter. At any rate, LED lights, I think, are indeed quite interesting, to be sure. Another special kind of light source is laser. You've heard much about laser, maybe even about laser pointers that have been directed at airplanes, airliners, and blinded pilots. And of course, if you do that and get caught, you're in major trouble. But it's a very tightly focused light that can be used not only in things like surgery, but even to drill holes in diamonds. Amazing. But light is also a subject of the Bible. In fact, there are so many scriptures about light in the Bible, we're not going to cover nearly all of them. The Bible talks about light in a spiritual sense. We are even called sons or children of light as God's members of His church. And we'll see more about that as we go. So guess what I want to discuss today? Children of light. We want to be sure that we are children of light and not darkness. Light, as you can even deduce from it being the first thing God created in the recreation of the earth, is very, very important to God. Very important. Always has been, always will be, and will always be very important to us. Exodus 27. Exodus, the 27th chapter. And notice verses 20 and 21. Exodus 27, beginning in verse 20. And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to cause the lamp to burn continually. This was in the tabernacle of meeting, as it goes on to point out, in the tabernacle of meeting, outside the veil, which is before the testimony, pardon me, Aaron and his son shall tend it from evening until morning before the eternal. It shall be a statute forever to their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. And they were not to let this lamp, this light, go out. It was to be kept burning continually. And olive oil was what it used as fuel. Olive oil being a type of the Holy Spirit, as you're probably aware. Here we can think about some other related things. The sons of oil, two witnesses, that's what they are called, the sons of oil. I won't turn to the passage. They are full of God's Spirit and perform great miracles through the power of God's Spirit. Also, anointing with oil, the type of the Holy Spirit, again being applied usually to the forehead of the individual, can be to another part, but normally it's the forehead. That being used to heal us. The lampstand of Revelation 2 and 3, messages to the seven churches. Here we have heat as a source of light. Now we are to be lights to the world. It's not new, we've heard that many times, but I want us to put this whole subject together to see how important it really is to us. We are to be lights to the world. We know that. And we know that requires the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we also have been told, needs to be stirred up. It must be used. If you don't use it, it's not stirred up. And this is what we might liken to reflection of light. God gives us the light of His Spirit. That, in turn, produces us as light bearers, light reflectors. It's a reflection of light in a spiritual sense through our example. And God supplies the Spirit as we use it. He doesn't force it on us. He doesn't give it to us in greater abundance if we don't use it. If it is not used, what happens? It gradually leaves. And when it gets to the point where it completely leaves an individual, is completely away from his mind, that individual's in a very dark state, a very terrible state. If the supply is not replenished, the fuel runs out, the lamp goes out. There has to be activity. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Notice Ephesians chapter 5 and the 8th verse. Ephesians 5, 8. For you were once darkness. And spiritually, that's what we all were before we submitted and surrendered to God and repented, were baptized. But now, even though we were once darkness, now you are light in the Lord, Him living in us to produce this light, spiritual light, through our example. Walk as children of light. What is walk? It's an action verb. We are to walk. We cannot remain stationary. We have to move spiritually. We have to do things. There must be activity. So do we not only have the light through the Holy Spirit, do we walk in light? If we don't walk in light, the Holy Spirit will diminish. We all need to ask ourselves, is there any darkness in us? And the answer is, for all of us as human beings, yes, there is some here and there. Hopefully not much, but none of us are completely filled with the Holy Spirit to the point we're perfect and have no problems, no shortcomings. How we walk, though, is how we live, how we behave ourselves in this life. Righteousness is characterized as light. A great deal of association between truth and light. We'll see more about that as we go. But again, great deal of association between truth and light. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 6, down through verse 9. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, the Eternal, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. But evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. It goes back here, first part of verse 6. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light. Righteousness and light are associated. They're related significantly. And we'll see a bit more of some of this a little bit later on regarding anger and light, certain application of light in our dealings with other people. 1 Samuel 3, a few more scriptures today in this sermon than many that I give, but once again, this is only a small portion of all the scriptures on light in the Bible. So 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. 1 Samuel 3, beginning in verse 1, going down to verse 4. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the words of the Lord, the Eternal, was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. It was, and I'm sure you've heard the scripture about a famine of the word coming. Well, there was a famine of the word here when Eli was an older man and had let things slide, and there was a famine of the word. It was rare in those days, no widespread revelation. And because there was not proper action, God's Spirit was declining in terms of what was being accomplished in the priesthood and in the nation at that time. It came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and sadly his spiritual condition was growing dim as well, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." Here we find a parallel between lack of truth and the lamp going out. As I mentioned, the word of the Lord was rare, no widespread revelation, but the lamp was not being properly tended, and perhaps it even went out. Sad situation. You probably are familiar with the rest of the story, but a very sad end for Samson, for Eli. Don't know where I got Samson, but Eli and his two sons. The lamp was a symbol of truth in the land. And it was waning. Satan has tried repeatedly to bring about the same thing in the church down through the centuries. He wants the spiritual lamp, the light that should be shining through us as examples. He wants it to grow dim, then he wants it to go out. And he's had a certain measure of success, as we all know, in certain events going back a number of years now. Hard to believe how long it's been since 1995. Proverbs 6:23. I have a few more scriptures here that I want to read. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. Just the one verse. Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp. We were just reading about the literal lamp growing dim, not being refueled. And again, reminiscent of the parable of the 10 virgins. The commandment is a lamp, the law a light. Notice how light is connected to God's commandments and the law, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You cannot separate being a light from acting in obedience to God, and indeed emphasizing his law in your minds, our minds. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, what we read at the beginning, Genesis 1. And notice the connection that is being made. Who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the physical light is indeed a type of the spiritual light that should be reflected by the Holy Spirit in us out to other people and to the world. Let's read that verse one more time. 2 Corinthians 4, 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, Genesis 1, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge, spiritual light now, light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. A lot packed into that verse, isn't there? Psalm 119, Psalm 119th Psalm, shortest chapter in all the Bible. Well, glad you're paying attention. Verse 105, longest chapter, of course. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Very, very true. And notice again, parallel between something physical and the spiritual light, a light to my path, and it is God's word. Sometime back, one minister said that you have to know which scriptures to cut out, which ones to keep. How do you dissect God's word and throw some of it out? Well, you can try, and you know, we hear about people doing away with the law. I'm sorry, nobody does away with the law. It's there. They can choose to disobey it, but you can't do away with it. It's truth, and it is permanent. It will not go away. One other verse at this point, Romans 13, verse 12. Romans 13, verse 12. As we look at these various scriptures, we see different aspects of this important subject of light. Romans 13, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And I think that brings up another important aspect. Light, truth, God's law, His word, is an armor. It's protective. If we emphasize God's word as an example, as a spiritual light, that protects us. It's like armor to us, another benefit. I'm not going to turn to Matthew 25, I've already referred to it, but parable of the 10 virgins, I'm sure you've read it many times. It's another time when lamps are going out, oil is running low. People who have not stirred up the spirit have not been stockpiling the knowledge of the truth and the word of God. They've been keeping it a little bit too externally rather than deeply inside so that it cannot be lost. Now, just as Eli, we read about him just a few couple of minutes ago, just as he and his sons were not walking in the light, so these five foolish virgins are not walking in the light. It takes action. God is the source of the oil, and these virgins will not have been close enough to Him in their way of life, their way of walking. Now, we talk about spiritual food. You've heard that referred to many times over the years. Remember how light makes the process of photosynthesis possible? Spiritual light makes the production of spiritual food possible, if we could draw an analogy there. But if you don't have spiritual light in your life, you cannot understand the spiritual food that you may be exposed to. It'll go right above your head. Many in the world who don't have the Holy Spirit are exposed to the true spiritual food, but they don't understand it. God has not called them yet. He will in the future. And even now, I believe that even though we don't have a flood of people coming into the church, that there are seeds being planted here and there. And there will be more and more seeds planted. And there's going to be quite an awakening when the time of trouble comes. There must be spiritual light in our own lives to facilitate the absorption, if you will, of spiritual food. God is the source of that light, both in the physical sense and the spiritual sense, but now we're emphasizing the spiritual. If we receive that light and a, for lack of a better term, chemical, in a spiritual sense, process of a spiritual sort takes place as we walk with that truth, we will receive spiritual sustenance. John 12, verse 35, John 12, the Gospel of John, 12th chapter, verse 35 and 36. Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you," referring to Himself. "Walk while you have the light. You'll learn all you can from me while I'm here, so that you may reflect that light and yourselves be an example of light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light," or children, sons and daughters, if you will. "These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them." That's quite an interesting and amazing comment to the disciples, as I see it. If we have that light, if we reflect it as an example, then we are children of God. Quite an amazing way of describing Christians who are, in our view, nothing, who are not the intelligentsia of the world, but through God's Spirit. And letting the light reflect, we can be sons and daughters of the great God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. We'll read a little bit more here. First nine verses, 1 Thessalonians 5. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. And my, can't we say that today? You know, do we even need to point out some of the things that are happening that are just glaring immorality, glaring disobedience to God, many wrong choices being made? You have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night, unexpectedly. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. And that certainly applies to us, doesn't it? We are not in darkness. If we are children of light, if we are receiving the spiritual light from God and using it, acting on it, then we will be prepared. But we must concentrate on being prepared and not say, my Lord delays his coming. We don't know when the great tribulation is going to start, but we know that it is, and we believe we're in the season. But we have to be, to connect to the sermonette, patient. You, brethren, are not in darkness. Again, I read this so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day, describing it now in a different sense. Sons of the day, a lot of crime takes place at night, does it not? And not that none takes place in daylight. Sometimes it takes place in broad daylight, but I'm convinced there's more crime at night. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's contrasting day and night in a spiritual sense. And again, notice the association between light and our salvation. Look also at Colossians 1. Verse 12, Colossians 1, 12. Colossians 1, 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. God's plan is being worked out in the light, not in darkness. And we have a special relationship with spiritual light as converted Christians in the Church of God. We must use the light we're given. That means we don't just absorb it, we actively use it in the way we live our lives. To emphasize that point again, the gospel is not going to be spread via the presence of great knowledge or people of fantastic ability. Not saying that God's servants don't have a certain amount of ability. I think they do. But it's going to be accomplished by the spiritual strength of God's people in providing a simple but profound message about the coming kingdom of God and all that relates to that message. And by a deep concern for our fellow man. If we obey God, if we emphasize his commandments, we know that the last six embody the concept of love for our neighbor. Are we concerned for our fellow man? Or do we say, oh, you know, they're ignorant. Who cares what happened to them? No, the reason we preach the gospel message is because we do care about the people of this world, just as God says he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So we need to have that concern. That is one of the ways light, spiritual light, expresses itself. In 1 John 2, verses 9 through 11. 1 John 2, beginning in verse 9. And the epistles of John are wonderful epistles where the subject of light is concerned. Verse 9, chapter 2, 1 John, he who says he is in the light, and some people do claim it when it is not true, and hates his brother, is in darkness until now. If you are hateful, unforgiving, holding grudges for a long, long time, never letting them go, you're in darkness. You're not in light. Forgiveness is so important. And of course, I think most of us understand that the person that is most hurt by being unforgiving is the person who doesn't forgive, not the object of his grudge. It's harder on him, not that it doesn't have an effect on the person who is not forgiven, but I think it has a more lasting negative effect on the one who will not forgive. This is a very important concept. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness, not light, in darkness, until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light. And that's where he lives. And there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Be sure that that doesn't apply to you, as I need to be sure it doesn't apply to me. So as the sun is the source of so much of the physical energy available on this planet, so God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ are the source of spiritual light and energy. They are the source. We are the recipients, but we must pass it on. Pass it forward, as the saying goes. God is a radiant being, even in terms of radiance that, in a sense, is physical, and yet somehow it's not really physical. But they are the source of that light and energy, and that's where we need to get it from in our relationship with the Father and the Son. James 1:17. Of course, Mr. Johnson is in this very section of James in his classes on the general epistles. Very good classes thus far, and I'm sure the others will be. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. An interesting term, the Father of lights, or the source, you might say, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. No variation. God does not change, especially in terms of his mercy, the context of a verse that states that. God doesn't waver. He is constant, consistent. Light is, from another perspective, a very interesting thing, in the sense that it seems to be one of those things that is shared between the physical and spiritual worlds. Did you ever think of it that way? Obviously, God himself is very greatly associated with light. We are to be lights to the world. So it's shared in that sense, but even in what we would call a physical sense, kind of hard to explain that, but he is a radiant being, so that, greatly so that we, as physical, mortal human beings, cannot live in his glorified presence, meaning there is a physical application of that brilliant light. We know that Christ will destroy the beast and the false prophet with the brightness of his coming. What will that be? How will light be applied in that case? Laser? Well, that would certainly do it. Now, if a laser beam can put a hole in a diamond, and you know how hard that is, what would it do to a human being? Extreme heat? Could be any one of a few ways, at least, that light could be used, or a combination. But we know that the brightness of his coming are going to be very destructive to those who are in rebellion. A thought to ponder, and I suppose all we can do is speculate about this. When we become spirit, will there be other properties of light that we will experience in addition to what we experience now? Spiritual dimensions are greater than physical dimensions. Might there be something in store for us in the matter of light that we haven't even contemplated? It's just a thought. I don't have an answer. But we do know that life as a spirit being will open up a number of new and significant dimensions that we don't experience as flesh and blood. Psalm 27, verse 1. That was just an interjected thought that I wanted to mention, but Psalm 27, verse 1 now. Just the one verse. The Lord, the Eternal, is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Eternal is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So we need to ask ourselves frequently, is God our light to the extent that we should be welcoming him into our lives in that sense? John 8, verse 12. Now, I know you're out there saying, boy, he really does have a lot of scriptures today. But we're not going to quit real late, not more than a half hour late, so don't worry. John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am, and that's an interesting two-word phrase, I am, referencing the I am of the Old Testament, the one who became Christ, but that's another subject. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. But when we sin, and we all sin, at that time we're walking in darkness, not practicing that as a way of life, but maybe for a short time walking in darkness. We need to walk more and more in the light. But notice this concept, the light of life. God is the ultimate source. 1 Timothy 6, verse 16. 1 Timothy 6, 16, who alone has immortality, and notice this again emphasizes a slightly different aspect of light and God, and maybe relates to how we could not exist alive in his presence and his full glory, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen, that is, God, no man has seen, or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Dwelling in unapproachable light. Again, there are so many angles, so many aspects, so many finer points about light in relationship to God and in relationship to us. Daniel 2:22. Daniel 2:22. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Light is totally related to, connected to, you might say, God. And it comes through Jesus Christ, who is to live his life in us as we yield to him. Matthew 4, verse 15. Matthew 4 and the 15th verse. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. That was through the person of Jesus Christ. Well, good. I've only got 35 more scriptures to go. There are a few words translated light in the Greek New Testament. I'm not going to cover all of them. I'll mention one. The main one is phos, P-H-O-S. P-H-O-S reminds me of the word photosynthesis. Notice some of the definitions, and there are quite a few, quite a large section in Thayer's Greek lexicon on this word, phos, P-H-O-S. But I want to, for a purpose, give you a few of those. Used to denote truth and its knowledge together with the spiritual purity congruous with it. It's related to spiritual purity. But to denote truth, I want to emphasize truth. Another definition given in Thayer's, the divine truth with which you are imbued. And one more, everything made manifest by the aid of Christian truth has taken on the nature of light, so that its true character, emphasize the word true relating to truth, character and quality are no longer hidden, are no longer hidden. And what does light do? It reveals something. It means you can see it. How many times have we had to get a flashlight, you know, to look behind an appliance or something to see what we needed to fix? Light reveals. It takes away the darkness so that we can see something, and it does that spiritually. It will do that for us spiritually so we can see what we need to repair spiritually in our lives, what we need to change. Now, with these definitions in mind, notice 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. You could also go to John 1. I'm not going to take the time to go there, so down to 33 scriptures now. 1 John 1, and John 1, it talks about the Word and his association with light. 1 John 1, verse 5. Through 7, 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. None. God is light, and I just read to you some definitions that emphasize the word truth. So you might say that in one sense, when we say God is light, it's like saying God is truth. He is the embodiment of truth. God who cannot lie, one scriptural example. Then it discusses the way that we walk. That's what it goes on to say here. Read verses 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, again, someone falsely claiming to have fellowship with God and Christ, but walk in darkness, perhaps by hating someone, having an unforgiving heart, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Here again, connection with truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It has a great effect on our being forgiven for sins after baptism. I won't elucidate further. That would require a little bit more time, and I'd have to cut it down to 25 more scriptures. So we have to walk in the light. Again, notice the action. As he is in the light. And that's one reason that fellowship is very important in God's eyes. So this discusses the way we walk, 7 days a week, of course, practice of truth, fellowship, an ongoing application of Christ's sacrifice, confessing our sins to God, meaning we have acknowledged them, first of all, to ourselves, instead of denying them. All of this related to light. There's a great deal more the Bible says about light. It's a subject we need to emphasize in our lives. God is the source. We need to be close to him so we will not be caught short when the time of trouble comes, when many are going to be taken by surprise and are not ready. In large measure, if we could boil it down, because they're not walking in light. If we are close to God, we will reflect his glorious light to the world in the way we live. Matthew 5, verse 14. Matthew 5, and the 14th verse. And we got down to one scripture pretty quickly there. 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That they may see our good works. So don't ever let anyone tell you that works aren't important. And many will try to do that. We are to then be lights to the world, shining in a dark place. We need God's Spirit in abundance, and we need to be active spiritually. Just to repeat for emphasis, we need to walk in the light, and the light shows us where to walk as well. I believe Melanie Quick was indeed a strong light. She served, she cared. And again, as Stan Grabowski posted on Facebook, to repeat this, and I totally agree, breakfast at the church campout won't be the same without her. And thinking of Melly in this regard makes me think of something else about light in terms of our example. That doesn't end when we die. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, those who knew Melanie well are going to remember how she served. I can recall so many times that she would keep us updated on individuals that maybe we had just met or been acquainted with. Maybe from another area, she would let us know how they were doing and always showed a concern for them. I don't think I'll forget about that as long as I live. An example, a good example. An example of light lasts and lasts and lasts. And that's the way the Bible is. Throughout the history of the Bible, there are numerous examples that remind us of what we should do, and others to remind us of what we should not do. Light is a wonderful gift from God. It's an enabler of our Christianity. Let's all be sure that we are utilizing the spiritual version of this amazing creation of God, light, Let's be sure we are behaving as children of light and using the power of the Holy Spirit to remove whatever dark spots remain in our character so that we may become more and more brilliant as lights and examples to each other and to the world.